Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Does prayer work? I added this morning. Does prayer work? Y'all believe that prayer, when you pray, that it really does something in the heavens? David prayed when his world was crashing in on him. King Hezekiah prayed when Jerusalem was surrounded by the enemies, and he prayed, and the angel came in and killed 185,000 of the enemies, and they fled. The city of Nineveh prayed and repented. This was a bad city. They prayed and repented, and guess what? God saved everyone in the... Thank you, Jesus. Even the heathens got saved. Even the people who used to be like Sam got saved. Peter was in prison, and they prayed. And then guess what? He come out knocking on the door, and they said, oh, I guess our prayers got answered. Do you believe prayer is significant? Let me tell you what, prayer has changed and started every big move of God. Azusa Street, you know, may not heard a lot about that. It started out with four or five women praying for God. You got a problem with women in church? Come on, somebody. I get an amen on that one. We're having prayer this Wednesday night. And listen, a handful of you all will show up to prayer. Man, I might preach for an hour today. Y'all are in trouble. A handful of you will show up to prayer on Wednesday night because that's what usually shows up. What would happen if we gathered together corporately and we sought the face of God and said, okay, God, I want to see my city changed. I want to see my family changed. I want to see my life changed for you. When you come together in prayer, there is unity in prayer. I don't want to have to beg you to come to prayer, but I'm going to tell you something. Prayer changes everything. First Wednesday night, that's this Wednesday night at 6:30, we're going to pray. We're going to worship God, and we're going to believe him, not just to pray. The Bible says pray believing. So many times our prayers just go up amiss because we pray in the old, no, are we going to pray something that's going to come bring heaven down to earth? Oh, I haven't even started my notes yet. We're continuing with this Truth Is series. And I don't know if you all were here. We have a lot of new faces. Hey, welcome this morning. If y'all walked into this crazy place for the first time, we're crazy, sorry, not sorry. But we've been doing this Truth Is series. And I remember a couple years ago, we talked about basic training. Y'all remember I dressed up as G.I. Joe? My wife really loved that. But we talked about the war, and we talked about the enemy. We talked about the tactics and the weapons that we used in this war. But there's one more key element in the battle for ourselves, for our families, for our city, and our nation. It's called commitment. Commitment is dedication, responsibility, or an obligation too. We're losing the sense of commitment in the culture that we live in today. Over half of the marriages end in divorce. I ain't throwing no shade. I'm divorced. God has redeemed, given me a beautiful, beautiful, awesome, wonderful. I can't even take all the adjectives there. So no shade. Till death do us part. I have woke up a few times with a pillow over my head face, and she said, I'm just trying to help you. Kidding, that's just a joke, y'all. Sorry, YouTube. But till death do us part. And divorce is actually declining a bit. Why? Because more and more people are living together rather than committing to marriage. Wow. Relationship expert April Mancini said this. She attributes fear and failure of couples for the reason that they are afraid of commitment. Poor relationships with bad family, friends, bad past relationship caused people to avoid commitment altogether. People say right now that they have fewer and fewer close friends. People are actually isolating themselves and not wanting to be in friend groups. The military has been it's coming back a little bit over the last couple of years, but it was an all-time low of 2022. In 2022, people were not wanting to commit. They didn't have no sense of country or duty. RSVP, how many of y'all like to RSVP? And nobody show up. The percentage of people who commit to attend events but fail to show up to those events is very, 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 very common. About the only form, I'm about to get right here. Here we go. About the only form of commitment really is to uphold today is ourselves. We're very committed to ourselves. No wonder this past generation has been labeled the me generation. It's focused on acceptance of everything that makes me feel good, makes me happy, makes me satisfied. Title of my message is this morning is, truth is, are we committed? The chicken and the pig were talking in the farm lot. Chicken said, we got it great here. Pig's like, yeah, it's pretty nice. Our farmer takes great care of us. He feeds us and he gives us great place to live. The pig's like, yeah, it's really good. I'd like to do something special for the farmer. And pig's like, yeah, that'd be great. Let's give him a ham and egg breakfast. Suddenly there's a silence from the pig. He says to the chicken, for you, that's involvement. For me, that's commitment. Think about that. When it comes down to commitment or involvement, involvement is being a part of or participating in something. People are involved to the max these days, right? We're involved in things that consume our time. We're involved in work and education and hobbies. We're even over-involved sometimes in church. Sometimes even a good thing we get over-involved in. Being involved is, y'all gonna like this part. Being involved is to stay with it as long as you're getting something out of it. And you're happy with what you're getting. We better like what we get. Or we'll get something else. Or we'll go somewhere else to get it. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're only involved, you let something go wrong, get hard, cost you something, and you say, peace out. I'm done. When you're only involved with something, you may not quit on the spot, but we become less involved. We start looking for something else, a different relationship. We start looking for different friends. Or anything else that would feel that thing inside of us, a group or an organization, an activity, and even church. That we're looking for a church that's give us what we want. We have so many people that are hopping all over the place looking for what they want. Oh, help me, Jesus. I've had people leave here and talk to them several months later saying, I wish I'd never left. Well, come on, you can come on back if you want to. Ain't no shame here. But when you go in and you're critical, because I'm going to tell you something, church is not a perfect place. You ain't looking at perfect pastors. You ain't sitting next to someone who's perfect. You're sitting around a bunch of people who are working and striving to get after God. And if you want to find that critical spirit, you can find it anywhere that you want to go, in your job, at the church, in your family. But God calls us to commitment. Your salvation is free. But your faithfulness requires commitment. How many of you would accept 90% faithfulness from your husband or wife? I already know the answer to this question, death do us part. But 10%, listen to this, 10% unfaithfulness doesn't sound like much. But try to rebuild trust after 10% of unfaithfulness has taken place. You'll see how terrible it is to build that relationship back up. Committed is a verb that you have to put action to, and you have to be deliberate to it. Real commitment was that pig saying, I'm going to provide the breakfast. It required him to give all that we have, and the commitment to Jesus requires us to give all that we are and have to him. Truth is, are we committed to follow Jesus? In John chapter 6, Jesus is becoming a star. I mean, the woman at the well, he talks to her. She goes back into town and she tells everybody, hey, come and see a man who told me everything about me. And the whole town goes out. Half the town wants him to stay for a few days. And salvation's things are happening and changing. And there was a man at the pool who had been there for 38 years. And Jesus healed him. And, you know, he's healing people. And here's a big crowd. Big crowd's coming. And he feeds 5,000 plus people. But here Jesus comes in, John chapter 6. Y'all going to have to listen to this. You have to read this story yourself. John chapter 6, verse 14. And those men who had seen the sign that Jesus did said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. They camped out all night because Jesus had provided the food for them. They were awesome followers, right? But Jesus went to the other side of the lake, other side of the sea, and they wake up and he's not there. So they go looking for him. Look at verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you that you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. What was their true motive for following Jesus? Were they committed or were they just hungry? Did they want him for his, help me, Jesus. Did they want him for his benefits? What is our motives? What is our motives when we pray? What is our motive when we go to church? What is our motive when we give? What is our motive when we bring anything to God? Is it selfish? Is it because I want what I want? So many times, if you'll understand prayer, if you'll start out thanking him and praising him and glorifying him and bringing honor to him, but so many times our prayers start out with, God, Jesus, will you help me? Can you help a brother out of having a rough day today? But so many times if we would shift that and just say, God, I'm here to give you the glory and the praise and the honor. You know what? Ask, seek, and knock, but also praise first. Yes. Gratitude is. Come on, your prayer life can change when you start being grateful. Yeah. Jesus is talking to this crowd, and he starts laying out what it looks like to follow him. And sometimes we got to understand, I read the one that has the red in it, Bible, that Bible. What does Jesus really say in the Bible? If you read the words in red, they may shock you. You may go, oh my gosh, Jesus wasn't, oh, help me go. Let's go on. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you like the Cheesecake Factory, that's awesome. They have 6 million items on their, y'all know what I'm talking about. You keep flipping pages. And it's overload to my brain because I know what I like, but I'd like to try that and try that. Jesus does something a little bit differently. He says, I'm the only thing on the menu. He offers himself, but he's asking, will that be enough? There is a cost to being a follower. There is a cost to being committed. My college education did not cost me anything because of my mom and dad's income. Because it didn't cost me anything, all 6.5 years of it with no degree, I didn't value that. Because what costs you something, you will value. Come on, you got the newest iPhone 43, right? Anybody got one of those yet? You're like, Pastor Rich, I got a 43. I can't wait. I don't know what the number is. I don't care. But when you get that phone, you buy insurance on that phone, right? You put the best case on that phone, and you protect it the best that you can because that phone is valuable to you. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's probably not valuable. Look at John 6, 53. So Jesus said, again, you're going to have to read John 6. It's good. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. We kind of know Jesus was being figurative. He didn't want them to drink his blood and eat his flesh. But the disciples were probably going, what a message. Jesus, we're trying to get our followers on Instagram. We're trying to get people to leave everything and follow us, and you saying you got to drink your blood and eat your flesh? Not a great way to start out a ministry. And he says to them in another verse, you got to deny yourself. But we want what we want. We can't even change our schedules for anything of God. Come on, Wednesday night prayer is 6:30. I'm saying it again. I think sometimes if we would change our schedules, God could change our lives. I'm going on. There's a t-shirt. One be next week. We are persecuted, we say, but we can't handle anybody even talking about us. The Bible says you're going to be persecuted for my name, right? But then he's talking about what they went through, death and persecution, like they're going through in other countries right now when missionaries are dying. But yet, let somebody say something, we get all offended. We feel, oh, don't even get me started on social media. We get all offended. We got to fight with everybody. And the world's looking out there, man, those Christians are crazy. I had a man tell me this, and I was looking at it in the state the other day. He said, I don't believe in your Jesus because all you Christians are hateful. I said, what makes you think we're hateful? He says, just because of the stuff I see on social media. We need to preach a series on turn it off. He asked the question, take up my cross? Sounds like we got to throw everything away and all the comforts we carry and carry this heavy burden with us. This is what we see the cross as a physical pain, as a heavy burden. But he wanted them to put to death their own plans, their own desires, and turn their lives over to him. Now, practically, you see, there's a guy that walks around with a cross on his shoulder. I've seen him before. I'm not throwing him any shade. Hey, praise God, whatever he wants to do. But what does it look like taking up your cross daily, practically? Forgiving first. I'm going to say that again. Forgiving first. Before they do, or before they don't even forgive. Come on, we got to forgive sometimes because we're holding on to things that people, I've said it before, that don't even remember or don't even care anymore about, but it's eating us and killing us all along. Here's a good one. Having more patience. Help her, Lord. What do you do when your child will say, Mommy, 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 or Daddy, Daddy, Daddy? Sometimes, listen, some of y'all that you homeschool your kids, you have a bunch of young ones that praise God for you. I'm praying for you daily. I watched our grandkids for 2 days, and we were ready. I said, is it 6 o'clock yet? So I'm telling you what, you guys keep on doing what you're doing. And remember, you're raising up the next generation of leaders. How about taking up our cross when our spouse gets on our last nerve? Be quiet. How about this one? Nobody's wife or husband ever gets on their nerves, do they? I stay daily. What is that thing you did last night? You said, I'm 25% annoying or whatever.
I didn't say.
No. Chat, whatever, it probably said, yes, Pastor Rich is 25%. Okay. Because of my birthday, I'm annoying. All you February 3rds out there, you're in trouble because you are annoying. But I'll put it to you this way. I can be annoying at times. I'm going on. Taking up your cross is how well do you work with others and treat others. The Bible says to love them that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and take advantage of you. When's the last time you took up your cross and said, because they're talking bad about me, I'm going to pray for them? Come on, that doesn't happen very often because we usually go the other way because they're talking about me. I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to hold on to that hurt and that pain and that anger. But God says if you'll start to pray for those that despitefully use you, you'll start seeing, we're seeing it, things are changing in your life when you start praying for someone. I'm praying hard for someone right now. It's not my wife. Being committed, has being committed cost you anything? Commitment is not always a free meal. Listen to this. I think I've said this before. John 6:66. I ain't making this up. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Do you think there's a significance between John 6, we ain't going into end times, but 6:6:6. It says when people, when this world, right? I swear, I found this one day and I thought, God, that can't just be a coincidence. So they went back and they walked with him no more. They accepted this mark and the mark of offense when he was trying to say, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost us something one of these days. Oh, this is free. It's going to cost you something one of these days to say, I'm a follower of Christ. You're sitting in a comfortable, I'm sweating, but it's kind of chilly in here. But you're sitting in a comfortable church right today. One, there might be a time coming in the near future when you cannot sit here and you got to understand, you want the truth. I'm giving you the truth. You may not be able to freely assemble in here and worship God. And many of them turned and walked away from him. But here's what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't chase them. He doesn't soften his message. He doesn't make a new program. So many times in the church world today, we want to soften our message and we want to make a new program. We want to be seeker friendly. Listen, I want to talk about things that you need to work on or that I need to work on too. But the gospel is the gospel. And it was offensive. Jesus preached it. It's offensive nowadays. And those things that can offend your heart can change your life. He seemed to be okay with them leaving. You know why? Because he was looking for some real followers and those people who were committed. We try to talk people into following. We want it to be appealing and comfortable. We have to stop handing out a bunch of free bread. Come on, he fed them all, gave them all free bread. But we got to give the meat and the truth also. We also talk about a loving God, a Jesus, and he loves us. I said neither height nor depth. He's going to chase you wherever you're going. He loves you wherever you're at. But there is a time when he says there's a cost to your commitment. In John 6, 67 and 68, then Jesus turned to the 12 and he asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, I love Simon. He's always got a big mouth. Lord, to whom would we go? For you have the words that give eternal life. Where are we going to go? Peter was already seeing, I tried this on my own. We got a generation coming up right now, a bunch of young peoples right now that are seeing through the fake, they're seeing through the phony, they're seeing through what culture is telling them. They want something real. They want to see it manifest in their lives. And listen, that's what Peter was starting to get. Man, where am I going to go? You hold the words of eternal life. You are the one. You're the main reason I get up out of bed every day. Programs and organizations and people are good. But there is no other way but through Jesus. What is it you want to accomplish in your life this year or in your life in general? Have you committed it to him? Have you committed yourself to improving yourself, your physical? Everybody goes on a diet around January, right? I'm going to start working out my hour a week. But we want to commit ourselves to better relationships and our careers. But the proverb says this, commit your actions. Listen to this. You can't make this up. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. That ain't me. That's the Bible. So many of us, we won't commit our actions, but we want our plans to succeed. We want to start something new. Did we bring God into it? No, we did not. We didn't even discuss it with him. We want to plan something. God is an afterthought, I might say. Proverbs 16:3 says in Amplified, commit your works to the Lord. The same verse, but it's different. Submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and his guidance. Commitment, listen, it brings contentment. The Bible says when you commit yourself to God, your thoughts are going to start being established. You want to change your mind? You want to change the way you think, improve your commitment level, and bring Jesus into every area of your life. You can't change much if you don't commit much. Commitment and trust go together. What you trust in, you will commit yourself to. And what you commit yourself to, you're going to trust. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own stinking thinking, not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. We can't always trust what we don't know. But commitment is acknowledging his ways, his purpose, his will. Commit and trust things to God, and he will help you see them through. Jesus focused on the Father in the garden. He said, not my will. His flesh was going, man, I really don't want to do this because this is hard. This is going to be rough. But nevertheless, he said, I'm going to do it because it's your will and it's your plan. It helped him because he was committed to be focused on what the job that he had. In the garden, he committed himself to the Father. He committed himself to saying that these stripes I'm going to take are for you. Not for me, they're for everybody here. To the end of eternity, to the end of the time. He took the stripes for you while he was being mocked and spit on. When he was being hung on a cross, nailed, he committed himself to follow through and was able to seek salvation for us then. Now that's commitment. That's commitment to us. When you think of the image and picture of Jesus, we think of salvation is free and we have grace and free and unmerited mercy and love. And thank you, Jesus, that his mercies are renewed each day because I need them. I need them in the afternoon too sometimes and maybe even in the evening. Anybody need mercy all day long? Oh, y'all are saved out there, praise God. But he is what I'm thankful for. But what happens in any relationship, there comes a time when you have to DTR, when you have to define the relationship. This is the official talk that at some point in a relationship is going to determine the level of commitment. If it's on the first date, run as fast as you can. Love at first sight. Yes, I believe that's true. But wanting commitment on the first date, you better get out of there fast.
God told me you're my wife.
Lord Jesus. But there comes a time when he asked us to evaluate the relationship. And he wants to know whether we're casual, chilling, we're Netflix and chilling. No, we're not. Are we casual, but are we committed? After a while, listen to me. He's going to sit down. Kyle Idleman wrote a book called Fan or Follower. Such an awesome book. There's time when Jesus sits us down and he asks, he lays it all out there. He doesn't sugarcoat it anymore. He gives you the full, unedited version. Listen, there's a time that I believe the Holy Spirit's already doing that in your life right now. When you start to do something you're not supposed to do, he's tapping you on the shoulder going, no, you know, you committed to me. You're in a relationship with me. That's not going to make me happy. Dog, you don't need to be doing that. He lays it out. He gives the unedited version. He says, I want you to follow me and be committed to me. Listen, do we think that we're perfect or that we're going to be perfect? No, we're not. But God is looking for us to strive to be more like him, more like Jesus each and every day. If y'all would stand with me, please. I wrote repeat on that. But honestly, we know in our relationship with Jesus, we know where we're at. We know the process that we're in. And can I tell you, there's some that are farther along in this process. You've been doing this thing for a minute, and there's people walking in here today like, I've never had a relationship with Jesus. Those of us that are farther along, I believe that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in a way that we've never allowed him to speak to us in our lives. And when we start to do, again, like I said, those things that we know not to do, I think it gets more intensified the more that you tune into the relationship with Jesus. But I'm going to ask you this morning, are you involved? Are you dating Jesus? Maybe you're dating this church for the first time. Maybe you're dating Christianity for the first time. Jesus is looking for us to commit in our relationship with Him. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. It's the best decision you can ever make in your life. But Pastor Rich, you just told me I got to deny myself. I got to take up my cross. I'm going to be persecuted. Those things that we'll go through in this life are nothing compared to what He's got waiting for us. Nothing compared. So I'm telling you this morning, if you've never had one with Him, He lays the relationship out. And guess what? He wants to say He loves you on the first date. I remember me and my wife had been seeing each other for a couple months, a few months, 3 months. And she was getting out of the car. She said, I was going to work. She said, love you. I was like, no, it was you got. I was getting out of the car at Big O. You said, love you. I was like, okay. But then I found out, if you've ever been around Pastor Mindy, she says, I love you a lot. But she said, I love you, I love you, love you. I walked into work and I was like, oh my gosh. We've only been dating 3 months and she loves me. I did a couple months later. Didn't take long to find the relationship. But Jesus is the kind, man, He loves you on the first date. He loves you today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to fall in love with Jesus. Not tomorrow, not next week, because you're not promised that relationship with Him. So today I'm going to ask you, as the prayer team is going to be on the left and right, we're going to sing a response song, which requires a response. One way or the other. If you've never given Jesus your life, it's not a hard thing to do. I've said it many times. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need you to come in and change my life. That part of it is the start of your journey. When you walk out of here, that's when things are going to happen, is you're going to have to really work on your commitment to Christ. Maybe you've had some commitment issues. People have let you down. Can I tell you this? Jesus is not people. Jesus is not your family that's let you down. Jesus is not that relationship that let you down. Jesus is not that job that let you down. Jesus is the one that says, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you've been dating a while. I kind of like this Jesus dude. He's all right. And He's looking for you to take it to a new, whole new level with salvation. But also, maybe you have committed to Him, but also I don't really understand everything there is about this whole thing. That's okay. That's okay. He just wants you to get closer to Him and closer to Him. And the closer that you get to Him, the more you're going to understand the life that you need to live. Because the Holy Spirit will move and He'll guide you and lead you into all truth. So the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to start acting like Him, talking like Him, being like Him. So I'm going to ask you during this song, if you don't know Jesus, come up. There's going to be people to pray with you. Altars are going to be open. But I'm going to ask you this. Let's come up and commit to growing, moving, and staying. Growing, moving into what He wants us to do, and staying the course. Because I'm telling you, truth is, this ain't going to get any easier. I know that's heavy. This walk with Christ is not going to get any easier. Matter of fact, it may get worse. There's no may. It's going to get worse. So this morning, if you want to make that commitment to Jesus as a Savior, then we'd love to pray with you. But also, let's make a bold statement around these altars to say, hey, listen, we're coming up here. I'm going to recommit my life. And maybe you've committed your life, but maybe you just need a fresh touch from what God wants to do. These altars are going to be open. this altar area is going to be open for anyone who wants to come and commit.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.